When this meeting had finally come together, I kept hearing over and over something in my heart. And I know your heart is like my heart. We're here not just to share revelation, but to share the life that we are. My revelation really won't do you any good if you can't get the life of it. So I kept hearing this over and over, but I only heard three words out of the entire statement. When the statement was made, let them enlarge the border of your tent. And the word enlarge kept coming to my heart. Enlarge, enlarge, expand. And I always thought it said for me to do that, but that's not what it said. It said let them enlarge. And in that statement, he said to lengthen. And then came the word to strengthen. Enlarge, lengthen, and then strengthen that you enlarge. One of my sons, 6 months ago, had a stroke. Vietnam veteran, has preached this book, helped me build churches in old Mexico, Bible school in Jamaica. So there was no reason that I could figure why he would have a stroke. He, like a lot of Vietnam vets, he got Agent Orange. So I seen, when they took the MRI of the brain, I seen that. Have you ever seen the MRI of a brain? I'm sure some of you have. And while looking at that brain MRI, the picture of it, there were certain parts of the Western Hemisphere, they call it, dark. And in the course of this seeing that and meditating on it, the Spirit of the Truth began to deal with my heart about some things. There's people in this meeting that has got infirmities or something physically wrong. And there's no earthly reason that you can find why that should be. And of course, under the religious system, they said you did something to cause that. I don't believe that's really the truth, do you? So when I went back and looked at that MRI, I've seen it twice. I began to try to reason why that would happen to anybody. Why would people suffer with mind control? Why would we lose that? And we proclaim for years, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Something began to gel in my heart. And when I lay this out, I'll let some of you brethren, you go the direction you want to go with it. I went back to I used my son and I went back. And I remember when anger began to build up in his insides. He graduated from Bible school. Come back from Vietnam, he's full of anger. Now that anger, bitterness began to build up. And then he began to find a way to bury it. Trying to hide it. And on the outward surface, you would never know he was angry. But there would be some moments when, if you was around it, it would break out of that shell. And then I heard this. In that mind, and I don't believe it was just handed down, I know this, it's been, some of these things have been handed down from generation after generation after generation after generation. So I began to hear things in my heart. In those moments of anger, warfare takes place. And we create images to try to hide the anger that's boiling inside of us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And somebody said, oh, I'm not angry. That's not me. Maybe not. Hurt. Have you ever been hurt to the point to where you didn't really know if you could bear it anymore or not? And then here comes the age-old religious system. Well, you've got to forgive them and forget. Easy said. Easy said. And so I hug your neck and I say, I love you and I forgive you. And on the surface, it's real. But deep down inside of me, sometimes it's not really as real as it appears to me on the outside. So I begin to create a blanket to hide myself from what's really on the inside of me. And I'm saying this for one reason. The truth that's in everybody in this building, there's enough life there. If it can surface, it can release ever pent up anger, hurt, emotions that can release that mind and make that mind to understand it doesn't have to hide anything anymore. And let it all come out of there. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
So for a long time I have heard, and we've taught and believe, the raising of the consciousness. That's real. I boarded a plane a few years ago on a Monday morning. I go somewhere and I had a little bag, carry-on bag. I carried that thing different parts of the world for years. And this particular morning, I caught the same flight I'd caught a lot of times. And the little lady met me at the cabin door and said, you can't carry that on here. I said, but ma'am, that's my carry-on bag. She said, you can't carry it up here. I thought, well, that's strange. I've always did that. Same little bag, had the same things in it. I've always did that. Nobody had ever questioned before. And she kept saying, you can't bring that on. I said, yes, I can. Don't ever get into an argument with a plane stewardess. She'll win. So her final words to me were this. That's excess baggage. It has to go below. She won. I gave it to her. She gave me my ticket. It went below. I sat down, angry. Now I know you wouldn't have got angry. So I sat down. And before the plane left the runway, I kept hearing, excess baggage has to go below. Excess baggage has to go below. I heard that over, and I wanted to scream, shut up. Excess baggage has to go below. And I was going to Arizona, and I heard that voice all the way to Arizona. Excess baggage has to go below. And over the years, that's dealt with me. If our teaching, if the Spirit of the Lord, however you get there, you go to a dimension of consciousness that you've never attained before. If you take your excess baggage, you'll never know the reality of that dimension that you're there. You can't carry leftovers of yesterday into now. Yeah. And you, some of you have had the honor of shepherding people and ministering people all of your life. And how many people have you walked to the graveyard and you tried to reason why? and you couldn't find a reason, so you ignored it. Nothing you can do about it. That's the way it is. It's done. It's over with. So go on. Stand and perform a wedding for a couple when you knew in your heart it wasn't going to last. It wasn't going to work. And try to find reasons for all these things. I believe during the course of this meeting, the Spirit of Truth is going to take us into a dimension that no generation has ever touched. And I'm not just speaking out of my mouth, but I'm telling you here now, there is that amongst us that as we ascend, excess baggage will stay where it's always been. It will have no part of this dimension up here. If it doesn't, we're going to hand the next generation the same package that was handed to us. And I don't believe we come here for that purpose. Lynn and Connie have spent a couple of days with us, and we've had them all. Some of you came through the same school I did. Lay hands on the sick. Prophesy. Nothing wrong with that. But what we did, we tried to get to the outward surface without going to the root. And we've ministered to that outward surface. But in this meeting, it's the cry of my heart. I don't care who you are or where it comes from or how it comes, but it's the cry of my heart that the Spirit of Truth will get into the very heart of this thing, and that people who are here with the situations or the conditions of their mental state or their physical state or whatever it is can be released from that thing. I don't mean just shout hallelujah and go home speaking in tongues. I mean have a genuine release. The excess baggage that stayed below where it belongs.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
So let them enlarge the borders of the tent. Expand. How many of you here, well, honestly, willing and ready for whatever has been to stay what it has been? I know ministry. You know ministry. That struggles. I have a brother in Florida. We were with him 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he's so agitated because the finances that he wants to do what he wants just isn't coming in. Have you ever been there? Of course not. And yet, he declares what we call the kingdom of God is in you. Something don't make sense to me. If this is the temple, tent, tabernacle, house, it's called a lot of things. If this is where God lives, apparently he ain't taking too good a care of his house. What do y'all think about that? Did y'all ever sing the song, God's Building a House?
Yep.
You know how many years I sang that song? And then it dawned on me one day, God's been building a house. Somebody said for 2,000 years, he must be a lousy carpenter. Then I found out that God ain't building a house. God never intended to build a house. He laid the foundation. And he said, other foundation can no man lay that is laid. Oh, but then he said this. The word ladder, rain, comes from a word literally means teachings or being taught. It also means to shoot an arrow. So when you capsule everything and incorporate it, the teaching is shooting arrows. And everybody here is a product of somebody's teachings. Hello? Somebody told you what you believe. So you had somebody help you build your house, right?
Yeah. I think I'll be on that.
We have a friend up in Tennessee, some of you know him, built a 40 by 60 building, and everything was square until he went to put the roof on. And when they started the plywood on the roof, they were 1/16 of an inch off. Oh, that's all about it. You know, it'll work out. My God, how many times it'll work out. So they kept laying the plywood. And by the time they got that 60-foot building covered, they were about 8 inches off square. He didn't catch the mistake in time. And I was there when that took place. And all of a sudden, volumes in my book began to talk to me. There's a house that is built. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to let this is my conviction. I said we believe what somebody taught us. And down through the ages, some of us has heard a lot of teachings. I'm not saying right, wrong, good or bad. We just have. And while I was there, it sustained me. It sufficed me. You've been there. Come to another level, here come another teaching. I don't know about you, but I cried when Bill Britton took my rapture away from me. I did. But that was the first step of correcting something that was just 1/16 of an inch off. You can't cap something until the foundation is perfect. Don't put a roof on a building until you've got that building perfectly square. And how many would agree that some of our buildings have been a little bit off-centered? So I believe we were talking, Lynn said something. And he quoted what Jesus said. I only do what I see. Father, do. I remember that. But to see the key word was, see, I only do what I see. I do what I see. I do what I see. But then you come to the next step. I only say what I hear. Hello? I do what I see, I say what I hear. So I take King James and I translate it. And I probably see things that Paul never sees. And sometimes I do things I ain't never seen nobody do. But when I finally, in my heart, purpose to whatever it was, to leave behind, to attain. And I heard somebody say this the other day. You can never take your past into your future. Can't do it. And if we'll be honest, sometimes we took the past and we have created such an image and we talk about it and we talk about it and we talk about it, and every time it comes out of my mouth, I give it life. I keep it alive. I keep it going over and over and over and over. I hear people talk, my heart attack. That's common. And I'm not making light of that. Well, I had whatever. And it's always mine. And it is. It is. Until you understand that you're entertaining a stranger that don't belong in the house. And then it's not yours anymore. But if you entertain that thing long enough, it's hard to leave because it takes roots. It gets accustomed to its bedroom. It likes Avis's gravy. It don't want to leave. Believe me, she makes good gravy, don't you, brother? And this sounds, but there's a determination, I guess, in my heart for this meeting not to be just another protracted meeting. Everybody do that, does their things and say hallelujah, and we all go home like we came. I don't know about you. Yeah, I do. You don't want that any more than I do. That's not what you come here for. So this I know. My perception is determined by where I'm sitting. What I see is determined by where I'm sitting. You follow me now? I remember Preston Eby told us, maybe you guys were there, in Arizona, of a parade come through town. Brother Gary put that on the other day. And the man sitting down on the front steps of the storefront could see the whole parade one float at a time. Somebody got smart, got up on top of the building, and they could see the beginning from the end. So your perception will be determined by where you're sitting. If I'm sitting where he raised me up to make me to sit, I can see the heavens ministering to the earth. If I'm sitting in the earthly position, I can look up at the heavens and see nothing but dream. The raising of the consciousness is as vital and is my breath. So when we begin to determine about this meeting, somebody came up with the idea, new wine skins for new wine. And we all know you can't put new wine in the old wine skins. If you do, your housetop will be about 1/16 of an inch off to start with. And the further, the more wine you try to stuff in that old skin, the more resistance that skin will give to you. And the first thing you know, your skin is hurting. Go ahead.
I don't know why. I've just been feeling like I'd like to share, going in line with what you're saying about expanding. And just, I mean, I know we all have personal experiences, but I just wanted to share that if I was not ever willing to challenge a belief system or look at something different to expand my consciousness, everyone sitting here except for me would be considered the walking dead, because I was a faith in my youth that none of you are going to survive Armageddon because I'm the only chosen one. So, and yet, I love so many of you, and I would have missed all of you had I not been willing to expand the borders of my family. So.
This is from my house. I'll give it to you if you want it. If you don't, I'll keep it. Love is not something I do. Love is something that I am. And that's why this universal consciousness, there's so many streams of it, there's so many levels of it. In these fellowships and in these gatherings, you won't have to try to love anybody. You'll just express what you really are. Just what you really are. See, my perception has kept me in bondage to a lot of things. I pulled up a traffic signal few months ago. Maybe I shared this with some of you, but I looked over and there's a guy in a pickup truck pulled up beside of me. And that's what I seen. And I'm sitting over there feeling sorry for the guy. He's twisted, he's crippled, he's hurting. That's what I seen. Yeah. And I'm sitting there, I don't know if I want to pray for him or what I'm going to do about it, but I mean, my heart's really going out to the guy. Because I see a twisted, crippled man sitting in the pickup truck. And all of a sudden, the light changed. And he moved. He wasn't crippled at all. He had a cell phone to his head. Really? Guess what happened? I got mad at my perception. I thought, you dummy. You dummy. So what do you see? I've told the most of you about seeing an elephant in Old Mexico, and there ain't no elephants down there. There ain't none there. But it's perception. It's an illusion. God, I need these brethren will go there. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I seen a dilapidated barn on the side of the road. When I really understood what it was, the moonlight was hitting that dilapidated barn just right to create a huge elephant right out in the middle of my road. It really did. Perception. I hit the brakes. And I've been in Old Mexico, and I know there's no elephants in southern Mexico. But 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't know what you might see. I had two men in the truck with me, and when I hit the brakes, they jumped, you know, they jammed up. They were asleep. Accused me of trying to kill them and all those things. And one of them lived down there, and I tried to convince him that I seen an elephant, and it was a lost cause. So I set out to prove to him that I'd seen an elephant. So I backed the truck up and I got the exact picture of it, and there he stood. Big old elephant. But I looked off to my right in an old dilapidated barn, and the moon was hitting that thing just right to form something that didn't even exist. An illusion. Created by something.
Creation of the mind.
You see, when I seen that, it was what I seen that made it something that it wasn't. I hope somebody can hear what I'm saying now. And the things inside of your being are there because of perception. Remember, Jesus prayed for a man. And the thing, first thing, it was the only time he ever asked that question that I can find anywhere. What do you see? Pray for it. Can you believe Jesus praying for a man and asking, what do you see? I mean, he put the whole ball game back in his hands. What do you see? Y'all remember the story? Well, I see men that look like trees. I've done that a few times. How many ages, dispositions, generations had passed since that was our vision? I don't know. Here comes the second go around. Now what do you see? Oh, I see everything clearly. What happened? What do you see? Perception. Perception. So the cry of my heart, the anger, the turmoil, and don't lie about it. I've come to point out where I don't have time to lie about anything. I had a preacher call me not long ago. Been preaching for 40 years. Precious brother. And he said, Ray, I finally got honest with myself. And when I did, I had to admit that I had lied and lied and lied. I said, brother, you didn't do it intentionally. He said, yes, I did. Now, I know that's hard to swallow. And I know what some of you think. I don't do that. But it might be amazing if you step on board the right plane and you meet the right stewardess, what she might tell you about excess baggage that it needs to go below. I just believe the house of God to be everything that God designed it to be, don't you? And it's the cry of my heart to see everybody in this building leave this place when these meetings are over. If there's excess baggage, get humble enough to lay it down. You can't carry it upstairs. Somewhere you're going to get off the plane or lay the baggage down. You can't carry it upstairs. And just come face to face. If it's an idol that I've created, and sometimes I have done that too. And the thing about creating something there that don't exist, the longer you talk about it, the more you'll get it live. It won't never leave you if you keep talking to it. I told my oldest son recently, I said, Rick, you've got to quit giving life to it by the words of your mouth. You've got to quit saying, you've got to change your vocabulary. And his word, Dad, I can't. I said, oh, yes, you can. You, the longer you talk something, the longer you keep it alive. Am I right now? God bless you. Let's give it. So God bless you. Brother Lynn Hayes, the man from Georgia. He's going to come and take.